Daf Yud Gimel. So we got to the last three lines of Yud Beis and Beis. The Gemara is going through different items, different materials that are good or not good for Eschach. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Hani Shushi Vishivatsri Misachin Behel. So I'm not sure exactly what these things are, but there's some types of vegetables, Rashi says. And the last line of Rashi, he says, the reason why these one can use for schach is because Misachin Behen, She'enim Mekablin Tuma, Vifi She'enim Maichel Adam. They grow from the ground, so they are Gedulei Karka, but they're not Mekablin Tuma since they are not edible, and therefore they do qualify a good schach. So comes along now, by Amar, B'shushi Misachin B'shavsi Lo Misachin. He's Mechalik. He says, not true. This whatever shushi, this type of growth, this type of vegetation is good enough for schach, but the other type is not. Why not? It grows from the ground. It's not makabel tuma. So the Gemara explains in my time of Kevin going on to Daf Yud Gimel now. Kevin disari richayhu shavik lhu v'nafik. Since it has a bad smell, people might walk out and leave the sukkah. So inherently, it's actually a good sukkah. It's good schach, but because it might cause someone to step out of the sukkah because it smells badly, therefore he said one should not use this as a schach. Gemara then says, Amar Rav Nachanan bar Rava, honey, hizmi vihigni, other types of vegetation, different growths of like a snail, some like some thorn bush. So the din is misachin bahu. You could use them as chach. They grow from the ground, they're inedible, so it's they qualify. It's makabal, it's not makabal tuma, it's gidulei karka. So Abai says, Amar bihizmi misach kinana, bihigi lo misach kinan. He is mechalik here as well. My time, why did he say this higi is not good schach? So he said, Kevin din nitri tarfayu shaviklhu. Since over time the leaves are going to begin to wither, they're going to fall on top of the person's head, on top of the table, and a person's going to leave because it's just raining down on him leaves. So since that's the case by Higi, you can't use this as Chach as opposed to Hizmi. Apparently the leaves, it doesn't have leaves or the leaves don't fall off. That would be the distinction. So the Chach itself, although it's a kosher inherently, but since there's another concern, you can't use this for a sukkah. The Ritva points out that although these, at least this last case, you can't use as Chach because the leaves fall down, you may use them as the defunos because it won't fall on your head. It might fall down next to you on the side, but it's not going to fall on your head or on the table, so they would be good enough for the use of walls. Gemara now says five lines down, Amar of Gidal, Amar Rav, Hai Afkusa Didikla Misachin Behu. You could use these. What exactly is Afkusa Didikla? So Rashi explains that apparently around these palm trees, sometimes they have some branches that grow from the ground underneath. They grow in units. They're connected to each other. They grow like a few branches from the same root. So the din is you're allowed to use them as schach. So why do you think not? They grow from the ground. They're branches. They're not edible. They're not makabel tuma. So the Gemara explains that afal gav de agidi eged bide shemaim lo shmei eged. Even though they're attached to each other, they grow as a bundle, but that bundle is it's natural bundles. The Kadosh Baruch Hu made them. It's eged mishemaim. That's not where you and I bundled it and wrapped it together. That's not called an eged, and therefore it would be acceptable. It's not bichlal the gezerah of a gezeras otzer of other bundles. And the afal gav de hader agilu, and even if you on your own, wrap them around each other into an additional eged, in addition to what they have naturally, you made another eged around it, it's still eged bechad loshme eged. If you wrap something to itself, that's not called an eged. So again, it grows in such a way where like five branches, let's say, then it's attached by the bottom. That's an eged that's natural. And then you just take the top five and you bundle them together. That's also not an eged because it's all the same min. It's like taking like a stalk and wrapping around itself. That's the same thing. Five things that come from the same root, that's all the same bundle. There's no bundling of one item. So therefore, it's all acceptable. So Gemara then says, similarly, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Ravina, Barshila, Hani Dukri Dekani, apparently by certain reeds, has the same thing. By reeds, they sometimes have little branches that grow from the side on the ground that come out as bundles. This too, these Dukri Dekani, Misachin, who you could use as Schach, the afagav the agid ninu, even though it's an egged bidei shemaim lo shmei egged, same exact concept, just a different application. The afagav the other agid lu, and even if you were to wrap them around each other from the other end, agid egged bechad lo shmei egged. When you wrap itself, the same min to itself, that's not called an egged. So again, same idea, just two different applications. One about afkusa, and one's talking about kane. So Gemara says, Tani Nami Hachi, the Braisa says the same exact thing. Kanim v'dukranim misachin behu. You could use reed and dukranim. Dukranim was the first case of the little branches that grew next to the palm trees, and the kanim are reeds. Now, the havamina here is, kanim refer to the reeds themselves, not the branches that grow near the reeds, but the reeds themselves you could use as chach. Well, it says, of course you can. Pshita. Reeds grow from the ground. There's, it's not makabel tuma. So what's the chiddush of the Braisa? So the Gemara says, no, Ema, Kanim shel dukranim misachim bu. The reeds of those small branches that grow from the side and the ground that are wrapped around each other, that's the chiddush. Of course, kanim themselves is pashut, that's allowed. But even those that grow off to the side, which are bundled around themselves, that too is allowed based on what we just said above. Gemara now says, going off topic a little bit, we're moving from schach and sukkah to pesach and maror now. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ravina, Bar Shila. Hani mirarisa de agma. Adam yotze ben yidei chavasa v'pesach. A person could use certain types of bitter herbs, maror, that grows in the swampy areas near the lakes. That's acceptable for maror as well. So the Gemara asks the question, meisivei. Ezov, the pasuk says, when it comes to the mechatas, you have to dip the ezov into the mechatas and sprinkle it. So the pasuk says ezov, and the Gemara darshins ezov v'lo ezov yavon v'lo ezov kochli v'lo ezov midbari v'lo ezov romi v'lo ezov sheish lo shem lovi. It has to be a stam ezov, but to have an ezov, a Greek ezov or a this type of ezov from this location, any ezov that has a qualifying name to it, it's a nickname of some sort, that's not good enough. Must be the ezov itself. So here as well. So Rashi points out it should be maror, not maror dagmasa. Dagma, rather marastam. So how can we allow this mara that grows by the lakes that's called the mara agma? So Amar Abai says this is the klal. Kol shenishtanishmo kodim atan Torah, ubasa Torah v'kbidalav, biyadua shiyesh lo shem lovi. So the din is, whenever there had different names before matan Torah, yeah, there was an ezov, there was ezov yavon, ezov kochli, and the Torah says, I want you to take an ezov, that means all the other types were excluded. But maror, I'll say this outside, then we'll look in the Gemara inside. Maror, this maror agma, was not called the maror agma before Matan Torah. It was always called the maror. We just call it maror agma because that's where it's found, but that's not the name of it. It's always called maror. And when the Torah says you should take maror, this was included. This did not have a unique name before Matan Torah, as opposed to the age of Yavni and the age of Kochli all had different names, so it's coming to exclude it. So again, the Gemara says, Amar Bayer, kol shenishtanishmo kod Matan Torah, which means anything that had a shame lovi before Matan Torah, Vasa Torah v'kpida lav. The Torah says, "I want you to take just the stam ezov." Biyadua sheyesh shem lovi. It tells us that there's other types of ezovs out there, and those other ezovs don't take. However, honey, here by the maror, lo nishtana shemayu kodem matan Torah. There's no unique names to this type of maror, that type of maror. It was all called maror. There's no different names, a klal, and therefore this maror da'agma is acceptable. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi says here that honey mirarisa lo nishana shmam kodem matan Torah ukshenitna Torah lo hayukruin ella marastam. This mara that's found by the swamps, by the lakes, was called mara as well. Ukshehizki mirorim in the pasuk, it means avze hayubamasha. All types of minim were included. So that's the first understanding. That's the first pshat. Comes along Rava. That was a bai. Rava says, Rava Amar, honey mirarisa destama shmayayu. Now, really, the truth is, even bismanazeh, we don't call this Marisa Dagma. Even now it's called Marastam. So why do we call Marisa Dagma the Gemara? Behind the car, like Marisa Dagma, Mishum de Mishakech Ba'agma. That's where it's found. But it's called the Marer that's found in the swamps. We don't call it swampy Marer, if you will. It's Marer that's found in it. It's not part of the name. It's not part of the shame. So the machlok is between Rav and Abaye whether this thing is called Bismaza Marisa Dagma or it's also Marer Dishkachach Dagma. Either way, this is acceptable. There's an interesting discussion in general, and the Achorim talk about it here in the Gemara. Whether or not maror is defined by what it's called, or if maror is defined by how it tastes. So you and I would all assume, and any kid you ask them, if it tastes like maror, it's maror. If it tastes bitter, it should be good enough for maror. But based on the Gemara's and Pesachim, it sounds like it might also be based on how it's called. We have something called chasa. Chasa is lettuce. Lettuce isn't maror, but it's because chas rachmana, because Baruch had mercy on us during the Abdus of Mitzrayim. That's based on the shame, not based on the flavor. So they go back and forth here, and the Achorim prove from this Gemara here, it must be based on shame, the name, otherwise this whole Gemara doesn't make any sense. What's called this, it's called that, who cares if it's called Mara Dagma? If Lamais it's bitter, it should be good enough, so it must be based on shame. Lovi, this Fasa Emes argues, it has a whole other pshat in the Gemara here, to prove to us that it's not based on how it's called, rather it's based on how it tasted. So now the Gemara goes back to the sugya of Egid. Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Egid Bechad Lo Shmei Egid. To wrap something around itself, we already established above, that's not called an eged. That's acceptable, that's not a bundle. Eged shlosha shmei eged. Everybody also agrees that if you have three things wrapped together, that is called an eged. The suffix is, eged shnaim is a machlokas Rabbi Yosi Rabban. If you have two things that are wrapped around each other, is that called an eged or is that called an eged? And the Gemara said that really depends on the machlokas Rabbi Yosi and Rabban. So it's a bit of a, not too complicated, but it's a little bit involved here. This Gemara talks about just how to read it, a few different readings of this Gemara. But the Gemara says there's a Mishnah regarding the Ezov of the Paradum. So the Tanan, the Mishnah, tells us this is found in the Maseches Para. The first parak, it says as follows. Mitzvahs Ezov shlosha klochim ubehen shlosha givolim. So you have to have three roots when it comes to the Ezov of the hyssop tree. You have to have three branches or three roots, and each one has to have at least one stem. So you have three branches and a stem on each of them. That's the first opinion here. Ezov shlosha, mitzvahs Ezov shlosha klochim ubehen shlosha givolim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, mitzvahs Ezov shlosha givolim v'shirarav shnayim. So he says the mitzvahs have three. And if let's say you have you start with three, but you're left over with just two, so then two is also good enough. The gardumav kolshu, and gardumav is like the stump is even a smallest amount in terms of the height. The height could be the smallest amount. Rashi explains that when you shake it, these are very fragile branches, and when you shake, oftentimes they crack. As long as there's a little bit left behind it, gardumav, it's like a little stump that's good enough as well. So you have to start with three. If one falls out, you still have two branches, and there's a little bit left, that's sufficient. It's kind of like tzitzis. When you have tzitzis, sometimes like the string rips off. As long as there's a little stump left of the string, a thread, that's good enough. Here as well, as long as the gardumov left over, that's good for Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, Kasaka daitech, the havamina here is, midishiyarav shnaim, tchalasanami shnaim. So shitas Rav Yossi, who says, as long as there's two branches left over, that's good enough. That also implies, tchilas is also good enough with two. Two is good. Behind the katani shlosha, how come he said three initially, Rabbi Yossi? That's lemitzvah. It's simply lemitzvah. Ideally, one should have three. But even without three, it's good enough to have two. Two is likuva. Umid Rabbi Yossi shlosha, lemitzvah. Now we can learn, we can deduce that if Rabbi Yossi holds three is only lemitzvah, but really two is what's necessary, then the Rabbanan shlosha l'akev must be that three is needed for likuva for the shita of the Rabbanan. Fine. So the Gemara then says, now, one second here. So to look at Rashi first, the first white line down in Rashi. Rashi says, "Umid Rabbi Yossi by shlosha mila mitzvah." Rabbi Yossi requires three as a mitzvah. Mechla, that implies the Rabbanan dami shlosha l'akev. Likuva, you need three. Di inu nami l'mitzvah v'lo l'akev. If Rabbi Rabbanan also agree, three is only l'mitzvah. So my asa Rabbi Yossi l'aflugi. What are they arguing about? Umay machlokes the kamar of chista. To the Rabbi Yossi, Shmei Eged, Rabban Lo Shmei Eged. So what comes out here is that you need an Eged for the Ezov. It's an Eged, the Pasuk says. So two is an Eged for Rabbi Yossi, and three is an Eged for Rabban. And that's the Havamina of this understanding. Mar says, wait a second. Could you really suggest that Rabbi Yossi only requires three on a mitzvah level, but B'dieved, two you need? V'atanya, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Ezov, Tchilaso Shnayim, V'shirar of Echad Pasul. If you start with two, or if you have one left over, that's Pasul. It's not good enough. Ve'eino kosher ad she'tchilaso shlosha v'shiyar of shnayim. He says in the Brisa clearly, you need three li'akuva, and if one falls out after starting with three, and you have two left over, that's good enough. But if you start with less than three, or if you have less than two remaining, then you only have one. You started with three, and you only have one remaining. That's possible. So clearly, this Brisa says that Rabbi Yossi requires three, even li'akuva. So Gemara says, fine, not a problem. Let's flip everything around. Epoch. Let's switch everything around. The Rabbi Yossi shlosha l'akev, the Rabbanan shlosha l'mitzvah. Fine, we're fine with this. Rabbi Yossi requires three l'chachila. He says two is not an eged, three is. Rabbanan say three is only the mitzvah, but two is really sufficient. Two is an eged. That's what comes out. V'atanya, this is not a question. This is binichusa. This is v'atanya as a support. V'atanya, the Braisa says ezov tchilaso shnayim. You start off with two. V'shir of echad, you're left over with one. This is all kasher. V'eino pasul, it's only pasul ad she'etchilaso v'shirav echad. Only if you start off with one, or you end off with one, that's where it's pasul. So Gemara says, wait a second, this last line is a little bit strange right now. At the beginning is true, that two is l'mitzvah. Two is l'ikuva, that's the support here. But this last line, that you start with one and you end with one, so if shirav is echad pasul, how much shirav echad kasher? We just said above the first line, the Brisa says, if you start with two and you end with one, if shirayim is one, that's good enough. But if you start with one and you end with one, that's pasul. So I thought you said shirayim with one is good enough. Now we're saying it's not good enough. So Gemara just tweaks his last line. It's a little confusing. Ela ema ad shete tchilaso kishirav echad. The din is as follows. That when is it pasul? I really hold that two is necessary, But if you have one, which is the same shir I have left over as one as well, the tchila is like shirayin, that you only have one, that's where it's possible. Okay, but look, confusing that last line here, but either way, it comes out, this is a brayse that proves to us that the shita of the Rabbanan is that three is only the mitzvah, two is the akuva, Rabbi Yossi holds three is the akuva, and that's the machlokas here, whether eged with two is considered eged, or it's not considered eged. And now the Gemara brings it back to the lachas of Sukkah. Top two lines of Yud Gimel Beis, the Gemara says, Darish Maremar. Maremar taught us the following, he darshan the following. Honey isuraisa desura misachimbo. These types of bundles of reeds that were sold as bundles in Surah were acceptable. Why were they acceptable? You could use them as schach. Even if you did not unravel them, even though you left them as the bundle tied up, it's acceptable. You're allowed to use them. Why? Says the Gemara, misachin behu afa gav de egdon. Because the reason why you put them together is simply as a count, to make it easier, but not because you want to leave it as the bundle per se. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, Isiraisa de Sura, Chavile Kanim Shayu Osin Lemchor Bishuk. They wrapped the reeds as a bundle and sell them as a bundle. They'd sell them as a certain amount. Here's like 20 a bundle of 20 reeds. Misachin Behu, V'ein Behem Mishim Gzeres Otsar. No one ever leaves them on the rooftop to dry like that. It was only used that way to sell them easier, but to have them left in, I'm going in my backyard and I'm letting it dry my schach, I would actually untie it so it dries better. But let's say I didn't untie it, since they were not meant to be kept forever and tied in such a way that most people untie them, it's acceptable even if they're not tied, because there's no real concern of a gzeiras otsa. So Gemara then says further, Amar Rav Abba, Hani Trefe Duravani. These little huts that apparently Rashi explains, the hunters, these bird hunters, would hide out in these little huts. They have a picture in some of the Gemaras of how it looks. The Arshka, I think, has a picture maybe. The little hut, you'll see that it's tied on the top. The bottom is tied as well. It's a little small little home. So the Gemara says, these Trefe Duravani, Kevin Shehutra Roshe Maldanim Shelehen Ksheven. So it was tied at the top. No, all the branches came together. So as long as you untied the top of it, so that won't be considered a bundle, and that would be kosher. V'ha agide mitatai. But wait a second, isn't it also tied in the bottom? If you look at the pictures, there's it's woven in the bottom, it's woven and tied together on top. So granted, you untied the top of it, but the bottom is still tied together, so won't that still be a problem? So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Disharilu. No, you also untied the bottom. So you untied the top, you untied the bottom, and there are no longer any bundles anymore, and there's no gzeres otzer. So Gemara says, Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rishua afilu tema d'lo shailu. He says, not true. Even if you don't untie the bottom, even if you leave it all tied together, that's not called an eged. Because kol eged she'eno also the taltalo, lo shme eged. The only time we invoke this concept of eged, that eged's a psul of gzeis otzer, that's a psul of bundles, it's only a problem when you're trying to tie it in order to move it, to transport it somewhere. But this was not meant to be transported. It was a hut that stayed, it was stationary wherever he wanted to place it. And you didn't move it that way, it was tied, so it doesn't fall apart. And that's not called an eged. Eged only when you tie something together in order to transport it, and it'd be fine, even if tied, according to Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua. So Gemara then says, further now, back to Mar. We're going back and forth between Sukkot and Pesach. So now, Amar Rebbe Abba, Amar Shmuel, Yirakos she'amru chachamim adam yotze ben yidei chavasa v'Pesach. The types of vegetables that the chacham say you could use to fulfill your obligation of eating Mar on Pesach, it could be mevin esatuma. It's mevin esatuma, which means that if you use somehow as a roof, you have some mara hanging on the roof, and you have tuma inside, that will be able to transfer the tuma into an oil to something else. So if there's a mace here, and a person standing there, and on the rooftop it's made from mara, that mara could serve as an oil, and it'll transfer the tuma to the adam. That's the din. And furthermore, vein chotetin befnei tuma. Rashi says this line is only din derabanan. Normally, the way it works is if there's a mace inside a house, so that house is not going to allow the tumah to be bokeh. It won't leave the house. It stays within the house. Anything in the house is tameh, but it blocks it from escaping the house as well. So Rashi says, mikradin, just like the mara has the ability to transfer the tumah from the mace to the person underneath the rooftop, it does not have the ability to protect it. I mean, it won't be chotetz. The tumah will go right through the roof as well. Even though normally that's not the case, by maror it is the case. Why? Because really, mikra din, the truth is, maror can really serve as a chatzitza. Rashi explains, I'm not going to read a long Rashi here, but since this is only true when the maror is considered, let's look at Rashi. I think it'll be easier if we look at Rashi. Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, the Dimaraskal Yirako Shamru Chachamim, He says, but Pesach, Sha'adam Yotze Ben Yidei Mar, Chazeres, V'ulshin, V'shar, Chavrosayin, all the other types of herbs, Dakos, Heim, Tinbish, Belaz, Hogach, Ein Chotzim, B'fei Atumah, Im Sikach, Bem Gag. You can't use this as Schach, as a Chatzitza, why not? U'midirabonon hu, it's only midirabonon that doesn't work as a Chatzitza. The Gozer allow the Medek Zer, Shelo Yismichu Aleim, L'chutz, B'fei Atumah. They were Gozer, they were concerned you're going to rely on the Marer as a Chatzitza. You see a mason, a person might try to cover up with the Marer. Dilma, Samcha Lai L'chiyav Shinami. Maybe you're going to use the Marer even when it dries out. Miu Ba'odin Lachen, when it's Lachen, it actually works as a Chatzitza, B'deraisa, B'shim Dilo Makabli Tumah. Dila Maich Adam Ninum. When the Marer is fresh, it's very strong, it's very potent, it's inedible. So if it's not edible, it's not Makabli Tumah. If it's not only food, it's makabel tumah. If it's not food, it's not makabel tumah. So it's going to be like a rooftop. It will block the tumah from going through. But the moment it dries out and becomes edible, it's now food. Food's makabel tumah. So now the tumah, the mace inside, will make the food tameh and go right through the food. So even though when the herbs, the vegetables are fresh, it is a chatitza, they were concerned if you rely on it when it was fresh, you might rely on it when it's not fresh. When it's edible, it's the opposite here. When it's not fresh, it's actually edible. When it's dry, and that actually won't be a chatitza anymore. And therefore, there goes there never to use the maror as a chatitza.
And it doesn't need to be mukshir l'kabel tumah, like stam a vegetable, even if it might be edible. Mean, that would be makabel tumah.
Wet, mean? Like getting wet?
But here, when it's wet, it's okay.
Right.
But it appears when it naturally dries, you don't do anything to it.
Where there's a cloud in general, for food to become tameh, it has to be hukshel tumah, which means coming into contact with one of the seven liquids. So your question, would that still work if it did not come into contact with one of the seven liquids, and it's not makabel tumah, would it no longer be...
If I want to make a sukkah and I take like some vegetation, whatever, and I just like throw it up there,
it dries
even though it's edible,
itself.
Like I would think I didn't actually like produce it as a...
Yeah.
I didn't like package it or
that,
or...
Fine, food by itself is inherently it's food. The question is, that's ochas, makabel tumah. Granted, it requires huchshel tumah to become lemaisa tameh, but even though it might not have been had that huchshel, still it's called makabel tumah, it's roi lekabel tumah, and therefore I think it would still be possible. I think so. I don't think you have to have actually huchshel tumah for these cases here. So anyways, the third detail is as follows. We said number one is maror does work as a, to mevi tumah, to work as an ohel. It does not work as a chatzita, doesn't block the tumah as a gzera. And furthermore, poslin besukah mishim avir. If you use the maror as schach, it's possible in the avir. Why is it possible? Why is it viewed as airspace? Even though lemaisa is not airspace, it's schach. Why do we view it as airspace? My taima dechayim dechayav sheparchi. Since when the maror dries, it's going to start breaking and falling apart and crumbling. But nothing is going to fall. It's kaman delesnayo dama. It's as if it's not there anymore. Even though right now it is there. But in a few days, it's going to dry and not be there anymore. We view it as not being there already now as a gzeira. And these are three halachas that apply to maror regarding tumah, regarding sukkah, and regarding chatzitza, mevin, and sukkah. So Gemara then says a completely different case now, related to schach, but doing a lot of tumah these days. So Gemara says, If a person is, let's say, he's busy collecting the grapes, he wants to press the grapes. He's collecting the grapes. The din is ein lo yados, there's no yad. What's the significance of a yad? So if you look at Rashi, this is more tumah here. Rashi, three wide lines down, Rashi says. Ein, the end of the line, ein lehem yados. Lahavi ha'eitz tumah al ha'ochel. We don't view the grapes have handles, the stems. We don't view that as a yad to bring the tumah onto the food. I mean, if a person touches the stem of the grape and he's tumah, that stem won't necessarily transfer the tumah to the grape. We view them as two different items. Lefi she'eino tzarach lebeis achita. When you're separating grapes, you don't need the stems. They're unnecessary to collect the grapes together. For lo nichalim, you actually don't want them. They're in the way almost. So since you don't need them, the yados are not considered an extension of the food, and the tumah won't transfer from the yad, from the stem, to the grapes. Why? Bechis rabbe yados l'tumah, the sugyas in Ohar Averotev, it's a parak at the end of Maseches Chulin, it tells us that the yad of the food, the handle of the food, the branch is also tameh, but not legabe everything. We only say that the handles, the branches, the stems are tameh only when you need it. Or whether it's something necessary part of the food or it's necessary part of the keli, the vessel. But once you don't need it anymore, it becomes completely separate and it's not makabel tumah. It doesn't transfer the tumah. So the din is by the grapes, there's no ein lehem yados. That's statement one. Rav Menashe comes along, Bargada Amar Rav Huna. He quotes from Rav Huna saying, Hakotzer l'schach ein lo yados. a person who's collecting straw or wheat or stalks, so there's no yados there as well. That's not needed. So that's not, there's no din either. Rashi explains here. Hakotz l'schach eina kashin mevi'in tuma al ochel. The kashin, the outer part of the straw, does not bring the food tuma. When it comes to schach, you actually don't want the food. The food is makabel tuma. It's not good for schach. You want the outer, the shells of the food, but not the food itself. So since for schach purposes you don't want the food, we view them as being separate from each other, and the yados do not bring tuma from the yad to the ochel. So one's talking about botzer by the grapes, and one's talking about kotzer, the gabe schach. So Gemara says, man damer kotzer, one who says by kotzer that the handles are not considered yados, because the yados and the ochel are not, you don't want the food, they're viewed as separate from each other. Certainly, you don't want yados, you don't want the branches, the stems by the grapes either. That's even worse. Why is it worse? Because when you begin to press the grapes, what might happen is the stems might absorb some of the grape juice. That's taken away from what you want. You want pure grape juice. You want all of it. But if there's stems there, that stem's going to soak up some of the grape juice. You're going to lose out. So you rather, if you have to choose one, you rather no stems by the grapes more so than the stems by the kotzer. Because by the schach, even if you have food on top of the schach, you could still have more psolas than the ochel, and it'll still be good of schach. But by the grapes, the stems are going to draw out some of the grape juice, and you're not going to want that. So if you hold that there are no yados by the schach, kaval chomer, there are no yados by the case of the botzer either. The Gemara says, flip side, however, man damer botzer shein lo yados, the one who holds that by the botzer, by the pressing of the grapes, we don't view the stems as part of as yados. Aval kotzer yesh lo yados. However, by the kotzer, by schach, those would might actually say that you do want the yados. You actually do want the handles, the stems to attach to the food. Why? You actually want the food there. Kecha delo livderon. So this is the machlokas. What that means is, but shouldn't spread. One pshat is that the food actually weighs it down. Even though the food itself isn't necessary and actually puzzle for the schach, but it actually adds weight, so the schach doesn't blow away in the wind. So you actually do want the yados by the schach, so you can make such a chiluk. Gemara says this machlokas about whether or not we view yados as part of the food itself or not. It's really machlokas tonight, the Gemara says. The name of the Rav Menashe Bar Gada tonight, let's suggest it's a machlokas tonight. The Tani, the Raisa says, Sochei te'enim ben te'enim. You have some branches of figs, and there's some figs on them. Or parchilim ben anavim, or you have some branches of vines, of grape vines with grapes on them. Or kashim ben shibam, or you have some stalks with some food in them. Or mechabdos ben tamar, you have some leaves with dates on them. Kulam, im psolas meruba ala ochlin. If all of them, if there's more psolas, which is good in this case, if there's more branch and leaf than that of food, that's kshay, that's acceptable. However, im lav, if not, if there's more food, then a psula, because food's makabel tuma, then it's no good for the sukkah. So achem omrim, ad shihu kashim merubin ala yados v'ala ochlin. He says, until the kashim, the psolas, is more than not only the food, but they have to also be more than the yad. You see from here that the achem put together the yad with the ochel. So achem holds that yad is part of the ochel in this case, and the Tanakhama holds that the yad's not part of the ochel. So this is the machlokas we had above, that this discussion, whether yados are part of the schach or not part of the schach, if it's part of the food, not part of the food, that's a real machlokas tanaim between the Tanakhama here and the achem. So Gemara says, okay, so my lav, if it's not b'hokim mifli, that this very machlokas is what they're arguing about, the mar savar yeshlem yados, umar savar einlem yados. So Gemara says, okay, the Rabbi Abba v'alei tanahi. According to Rabbi Abba, this is certainly a tanahi. Rabbi Abba is the one who holds that botzer einlem yados, but he felt by kotzer yeshle yad. So he said, this is a machlokas tanaim, and he holds like the achayrim that a yad of ochel is like ochel. That's like the achayrim. So Rabbi Abba could say such a thing. However, Rabbi Menashe Bar Gadi, who paskin just unequivocally, he said that he holds there's no yad by kotzer. So how is he going to explain this? Is he going to take sides here on this? What's he going to do? Mileima tanai? Do you have to say it's a tanai here? Amar lecha Rabbi Menashe, du chuli alma savri kotzer l'schach. He says no, ein l'yados. Everybody agrees, really. There's no yad by schach here at all. So what's the machlokas then? B'hacha by Mayaskin, what's the case here? So we're not going to finish this sugi here. We have to stop in the middle because it's going to go deep into the next daf. But let's just get started a little bit. So really everybody holds there's no yados by kotzer at all. You don't need the yad. You don't want the food and yad connected. The food you don't want. So view the yad and food as being disconnected. So what's the machlokas here? Whether you need more psolos than the yad or not? So he says, B'mayaskinan, kagon shekotetin la'achila. Initially you cut the food, you cut the grapes, you cut the dates, you cut the figs for food. And when it's used for food, everybody agrees there is a yad when you're using it for food. The question is when you use it for schach, then to review the yazid extension or not. But here the case, you initially cut the food for the achila, and then nimlach aleh, and then you change your mind, the sichach, you say, you know what, let me use the figs, let me use the dates, let me use all these things, the branches for schach now. So do we say the changing of mind, the machshava, will now render the yadas and ochas separate or not? I mean, if initially if I cut the branches for schach purposes, everybody agrees that the yadas are not considered yadas of the ochel. They're completely separate. And everybody also agrees if I cut it for food, the yadas are considered yadas of the food. The question here is, if I cut it for achila, and the yadas are yadas, and I change my mind to use it for schach, does that machshava change now make the yados and the food separate? So Gemara explains again. Initially lachila, I changed my mind lesichach to change them. So, and that's the question here. Does that machshava, that nimlach, change them to the yados no longer relevant to the ochel? Now Gemara says, wait a second. Ikotzin lachila, if I initially cut them for food purposes, in which case the yados are considered yados of lachila, so my tamayo de rabbanon, what's the reason for the rabbanon that they say that your machshava change, your nimlach, can no longer, can separate the yad from the ochel? V'chi tema kesavi rabbanon, if you're going to say rabbanon, hold, kevon dim nimlach alayon lisichach bat lalehem machshava, so by you changing your das, you now change your status of the yad and ochel and you separate them? That doesn't work. Mi balalei machshava bahachi, could your machshava alone change the status of a kli? The Mishnah tells us, "Kol kelim yordin latuma b'machshava ve'in olim b'tumasan el b'shinay ma'isa." So we'll stop here. But what the din is that the only time when you have a machshava to use an item for kli, that could render it roi l'kabbalah, l'kabbalah's tuma. Machshava could create a kli, but to remove tuma, machshava is not enough. You need a ma'isa. So to change the yad to no longer a yad, a machshava alone isn't sufficient. You need a ma'isa. So we're going to discuss that tomorrow. So let's quickly recap what we did today. The Gemara starts by talking about different types of schach that, although they're good, technically they're good, but since it can smell bad, or they might fall down and cause you to leave the sukkah, the Chacham say they're no longer good. The Gemara said if they have a schach that's eged, that's wrapped around itself, eged b'dei shemaim is not called an eged, and eged b'chad by itself also is not called an eged. We brought two different examples. We discussed then the maror, that maror from the agma, from the swamp, is good either because it's not, it was something that was never called it before Matan Torah. So if it wasn't called that before Matan Torah didn't exclude it. Or it's not even called that b'smazah. We just call that way to tell you where to locate it, but b'etzim it's really called maror. Then we discuss what about a eged b'shnayim? Is that considered eged? We're not considered eged. We said it's talil machlokas of Yosi and Rechachamim about the ezov, the eged by the ezov, whether two is necessary or even three is necessary. That would indicate whether din is by eged of shnayim. We discuss then the case of these reed that are wrapped together, even though they're kept in the eged, it's good enough because no one actually leaves it that way. It's just leminyan ba'alma to sell it in such a way, but it's not usually left in the tied up. So there's no gzeres otzer. Then we discussed about the yirakos, that the yirakos are maybe tuma, but they're not chotzes in tuma, and they're pasuf the sukkah because they might dry out and fall off. And then about the botzer, the ein lo yad versus the kotz ein lo yad, which one's better than the other one, and then discussing it about machlokas tanaim, perhaps about the tanakam and acherim. They made this last pshat of Menashe that says, no, everybody agrees there really is no yad, but the question is when you initially cut it for achila and you're nimlach, whether or not that's good enough to change its status. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day.